Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our Lord. Thank you for being our healer, our provider, our protector, our everything. Jesus, we love you so much. And we thank you that you are the living word. We thank you for your written word, which we rely on heavily, for it's your word which teaches us. It's your word that leads us and guides us in the way that we should go. And we want to learn from you today, Lord. Teach us, show us. Make your word come alive to us, Lord, as we delve into your word. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, welcome. Welcome to the service, and welcome to the teaching entitled The Golden Fast. This lesson is about words. Ah, words, words, words. Oh, my. Throughout all the years, all of you who have been with ABC for any number of years going to know we've taught on the subject of words many times. Many times. Why? The Word of God has a lot to say about words. So there's much we can say in teaching about words. But you know what? With all that we've taught, I suspect we may be only scratching the surface because God's word is so deep and so powerful. But we'll keep plugging away and putting that word of God out there and having us hear it over and over. For everyone who's a teacher and everyone who's a student, we all know repetition does help for us to learn, to hear, to know, to apply. And for ABCers, we want to emphasize that definitely we want to be not just hearers of the word, but doers only. So I want to start with some scriptures, and we're going to really delve deeply into these scriptures. I want you to think deeply about what you're hearing and what you're reading. If you have made a copy of the outline for yourselves, then you will find that I have the scriptures already written out, so you can read it right here. It's right in front of you, and you can hold on to it and keep it as a reference for frequent looking at, reading, saying out loud, and studying. So we'll begin with Proverbs chapter 10, verses 19 and 20a. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Now that's kind of like a double negative. If we turn it around to total positive, it would read like this. In the multitude of words, there is sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, beautiful, sparkling, clean, and pure. Proverbs 10:19-20a. In the multitude of words, think about that. In the multitude of words, what does that mean? A lot of words. Very bluntly, if we talk a lot, there's going to be a lot of words, right? That comes with it. But in a lot of words, in a multitude of words, sin manages to find its way. So, then it goes on to say, he that refraineth his lips is wise. Why is that? Because he's not going to have a multitude of words, and he's probably not going to sin quite so easily. Let's turn now to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 2, 3b, 6a, and 7. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Now, we heard that song in the praise and worship today. Let thy words be few. And it quoted that we are on earth, and God is in heaven. So, result of that, let our words be few. God knows. He really pays attention. And he's not the only one. Unfortunately, the devil also pays strict attention to what we say, how much we say, and how much we're going to give him permission to do anything with our lives. So again, do not be rash with thy mouth. Let not thy heart be hasty. In other words, don't be in a hurry. Take your time. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. Evaluate what you're about to say to see if you really need to say it. You know, I suspect that many, many things that we all say, we could probably do well without saying. If you think about it, ask yourself, what difference is this going to make? And is this going to be beneficial if I say this? If I give somebody a piece of my mind? Or do they want the mind of Christ? I think we both know the answer to that. So, we think about it, and we think, maybe they don't have to hear this. And besides which, if we do say it, who's going to remember tomorrow, or next week, or next year? You know, if anything, it might have a negative aspect if there's sin in the multitude of words that we put forth. But if we don't put them forth, then there's less likely to be sin and less likely to be influencing others negatively. And here's a very blatant statement. A fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. So you think Solomon was saying that if someone speaks multitudes of words, he's calling them a fool? Sounds like it, huh? Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. Let's think about that again. Let me read through one more time. Again, the repetition. I want this to sink into not just our heads, but our hearts. And let us understand the heart of God and why he had this word be put out for us to read and study. Again, Ecclesiastes 5, verses 2, 3b, 6a, and 7. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. A fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, for in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. Moving on to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Oops, not a good thing. But we keep our mouth. We keep our life. And what is our goal? To be alive and remain when Jesus returns. So our life and how we keep ourselves alive is very important. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Remember, he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 6:2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You know, a snare is a trap, right? So we could read that as, thou art trapped with the words of thy mouth. What are we saying? What are we trapping ourselves into? What are we pushing ourselves into being or doing that we don't want? Let's think about it. Again, that thing of thinking about what you say before you say it is very important. Don't be hasty. Don't be in a rush. Take your time. Think about what you want to say. Evaluate it before it actually comes out of your mouth. Because the natural progression is you think something, you speak it, you do it. And there's some things that we want to put a kibosh on. Not to say and not to do. So a multitude of words. Too many words. Do you think that God is trying to tell us that we talk too much? That you talk too much? That I talk too much? I mean, we can each one of us ask ourselves that question. Because it's one day between God and us, individually, one by one. And so we are responsible for us. And so actually getting up close and personal, I will confess that my husband, before he was my husband even, told me very bluntly that I talked too much. Whoa. I wasn't expecting that. But now I have to say my name isn't Kathy, but I was pretty much of a chatty Kathy. In my mind, I was bright and bubbly and friendly and able to engage people in conversation. And I thought, that's a really good thing, right? But here he tells me that I'm talking too much. Too many words, a multitude of words. Now, he didn't use the word multitude, but too many words, talk too much. And he was very special to me. The Lord had already shown me that he was going to be my husband. And I loved him, and I had a choice. I could either be offended. How dare you tell me that? Harumph. Or I could choose to change. So I made the decision to work on changing. It wasn't immediate. It's not something we can just flip a switch, and you talk too much one day, and you don't talk the next. It doesn't work that way. It's a lifestyle, it's a habit, it's a pattern that we have to make changes to step by step. In fact, I'm reminded of a song. For those of you that are old enough to remember songs from 1960, there was a song entitled, You Talk Too Much. You talk too much, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You talk too much, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You just talk, talk too much. So you notice I did a lot of that, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You know why? Because I don't want to repeat the rest of the words. If you're like me, back in the day, we always sang along. When we heard the song come on the radio or whatever, we'd just sing along all the words. And I listen to it now and I go, oh my goodness. Nope, those words are not coming out of my mouth. And we all need to think about that because we probably still do it. You go in some of the stores and they have music playing and sometimes it's some of those oldies but goodies. And we have a tendency to sing along. But pay attention to what it is you are mouthing, because there are some words we no longer want to say now that we understand better the power of the words that we speak. Just that's a little side benefit, little word to the wise. It was one time when my husband was teaching on Mark 11:23. Now, I know he taught a lot on Mark 11:24, but this particular time he was teaching on Mark 11:23 and saying that he really looked forward to the day when he could honestly say that he had every word that he spoke. Every word would come to pass in his life. And the Lord just dropped something in my spirit at that time. And I brought it up that we already do. Whether we like it or not, whether they're the words we want or not, whether they're the things we want or not, we already have what we say. In fact, Jesus was the one who said it. Mark 11:23 is a quote from Jesus. So let's listen to it. Pay attention. For verily I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. And now it makes more sense when the Word of God is telling us to make sure our words are few. Not just few, but well chosen. Ones that would be positive, ones that would be blessing. Let's look at a few more scriptures. Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. So, listening today, we're getting words from the scriptures that are telling us, speak few, spare your words, keep your mouth closed, keep your lips sealed. That's really trying to get something across to us. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, I love this part, even a fool when he holds his peace is counted wise. Wow. So what was the previous scripture we said? A fool is known by the multitude of words that come out of his mouth. So if he is a fool, but he keeps his mouth closed and you hear no words, you really don't know he's a fool. You think he might actually be wise. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Okay, so we're being taught from the Word of God. It's knowledge, and out of knowledge comes understanding. Again, Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Now, I know you're going to know this next verse. I believe this verse has probably been present in every single teaching we've had on words, because it's kind of bottom lining it. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What fruit? You speak words of death, you get fruit of death. You speak words of life, the fruit is life. And there's a choice, and we make the choice. It isn't God waving a magic wand at us. It isn't God telling us what we have to say. We make that decision. We make that choice. And it begins with the thought, what we do with the thought before we say it. Leads us to that question, should we say it or not? James chapter 3, verses 2, 5, 8, and 10. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Do I see any hands raised? Anybody perfect yet? Or are we still working on it? We're still working on it, aren't we? So that means, if a man offend not in word, he's perfect. If we are not perfect, then that means we are offending in our words. And what was that about the multitude of words? There's sin? Okay. So this perfect man is able also to bridle the whole body. If we can control the tongue, we control the whole body. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Well, folks, I think this really end time scenario of humongous fires has crossed the globe. They used to be in certain areas and now they're just everywhere. Huge fires. And how did they start? They started with a spark, a little teeny fire. I know one fire north of us started from a campfire that was not put out properly. Just takes a little teeny bit and the right kind of kindling and whoosh! Wow. And the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Wow, that's a pretty heavy statement. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. When God creates a body of water, it either has fresh water or brackish water, good water or bad water. You don't find two streams of water coming out of the same body of water. It's not like that. But with our mouths, it can. Because, again, that is our choice. So let me read these verses again, and let's marinate in these. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and yet it boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Let's move on to Proverbs chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Wow. The heart of the wise teaches. So as we study the Word of God, as we speak the Word of God, as we learn from the Word of God and start applying it to our lives, we are teaching our mouths. We are adding learning to our lips and focusing on the pleasant words, the sweetness like the honeycomb, and the health to the bones. You know, this reminds me of a study, a scientific study that was done that we probably all know about water. And there were two groups of water, and one group was spoken to very harshly, nastily, with hate and anger and strife and that water was all discombobulated. It was all upset. It was no normal pattern. It was terrible. They didn't know what to do with themselves, those little water drops. But this other group, this other body of water was spoken to with kindness and gentleness and love and encouragement. And what happened? The water was beautiful. The molecules formed these wonderful patterns. It was beautiful. It was peaceful. It was everything that you would want it to be. And just as a little aside, you may already know this, but our bodies and our brains are a majority water. So what we say and do for ourselves or to others, highly dependent on the words, what comes out of our mouth, what's the attitude, what's the feeling behind it. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. That's what we want. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 32. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Whoa. Does this remind you of anything? A picture of three monkeys, maybe? See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, sounds like pride gets involved there, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Again, you may think it, but don't say it. A thought unsaid is a thought that is dead. Don't say it. So the Word of God says the tongue can no man tame. Wow. So how do we fight the challenge of talking too much? How do we take control of our tongue? You know, we've learned that we need to speak less, but how do we do it? How do we go about this? We have learned that in war, spiritual warfare included, the most advantageous ground is the high ground. Obviously, if you're high up, you can look around in all directions and you are in control. You can see what's going on around you. And if this is actual physical warfare, woo, those guys down below are sitting ducks. So, high ground. Well, we know that our minds are also the battlefield. And though Satan is a defeated foe, he will take advantage. He will take whatever we give him to achieve his goal to influence our minds, to control our tongues, and our words to control our bodies here on earth. If we give him the opening, he'll take it. Because we have to enforce that defeat. And if we give him the opportunity, he's going to go, yay, I'm with it. I'm grabbing hold and I'm running with that. But this is control we do not want to give him. So I repeat, the tongue can no man tame. So how do we fight this challenge of talking too much? How do we take control of our tongues? Well, folks, we've all heard of fasting. Fasting food, fasting drinks, fasting TV, fasting favorite activities, all with the goal of getting closer to the Lord, which is a wonderful goal. In fact, the church as a whole just finished a 21-day fast officially on Friday. We pray that it was a wonderful, blessed time for you. But how about fasting words? This is something that my husband and I have both done, and it's very powerful. We do recommend starting small. Do you remember when you were learning to pray in tongues, and we were encouraging everybody to pray an hour a day? That's 60 minutes, and we start off with 1 minute. Day two, we add another minute. Day three, we add another minute. So it takes 60 days in a step-by-step process to build up to the 1 hour of praying in tongues. Well, this is kind of along the same idea. It's a step-by-step. It's a starting small and building slowly. So with the fasting words, the small step would be 1 hour. You need to set a date. A time. This has to be very intentional. This isn't something that happens by itself. You need to make a decision. Yes, I want to do this. And then you set the date and the time. And if there are others in your household, you need to notify everybody what you're doing so they will not accidentally interrupt you. And at that given time, on that specified hour, do not answer the door. Do not answer your phone. Do not allow any interruptions. Don't allow yourself to be distracted by your computer. No computer surfing, no computer games. You want your hour of golden silence. We've heard the phrase, silence is golden. So this 1 hour is your golden silence. Now, how frequently you set aside the time to fast words is totally between you and God. But we highly recommend incremental increases in time spent fasting words, moving up to 8 hours at a time and beyond. I personally have done this for as short as 1 hour and as long as 24 hours. My husband, I can think of two specific instances where one he did for a weekend and another time was an entire week. Fasting words has three definite benefits that we want to take a look at. Number one, deepening our spiritual life. We all want to get closer to God, and this is one way to do it. Number two is receiving an answer to a specific prayer need that we've specified up front before we start our word fast, and teaching us how to watch our words to speak less and to learn when not to speak. Now, I want you to be aware of two factors to consider for an extended word fast. Again, number one, for those of you who don't live alone, some communication becomes necessary. So both you and your spouse or you and your roommate want to keep paper and pen handy because you don't want to talk. And it's better if they don't talk either. So you write your messages out. You know, somebody called, there's an important decision that has to be made. The other person took care of that, but then they need your input, so they ask you by writing. And then you answer back by writing. But that should be something that happens as little as possible. Again, it's essential communiques. We get written messages, not spoken, by both of you. Now, number two, for longer word fast, some of the time can be spent praying in tongues and praying affirmations. As a matter of fact, when I was doing this, especially when I was first starting, I was so tempted to talk. And you know what? Has anybody ever done the thinking out loud? I think probably we all have. Where you're thinking something and you suddenly realize you're actually speaking it out loud, what you're thinking. And so when I'd start to think out loud, I'd switch to praying in tongues. And then that would take care of that thought. Put that down. So as you begin, I guarantee absolutely positively the devil is going to do everything he can to interfere with you, to challenge you, to talk out loud, to be distracted. Remember, he wants your high ground, your words that give him permission to control you. Because we all like to talk, this word fast may be way more difficult than we even imagine. But folks, it is so worthwhile. So please do persevere. You'll be so glad that you did. You know, I almost entitled this lesson, Zip Thy Lip, Silence is Golden. But it makes the point, but maybe it's just a little too harsh. So my husband came up with the suggestion that I took of the golden fast. Silence is golden. It's a fast of words. Therefore, it's a golden fast. So that's a much more kind approach. So remember, we want to start small and increase one step at a time. Inch by inch, it's a cinch, as the saying goes. Most of all, be sure to apply Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. In case you think, there's no way I can do that. Jesus says otherwise. Remember, Philippians 4:13. If you have to say it over and over again to encourage yourself, do it. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And Matthew 19, 26b, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. I can change. I can go from being one who speaks a multitude of words to one who speaks few words. So you can do it. Just take that first step, hand in hand, with the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own, but with the Lord. We get Him involved, and we partner with Him. He partners with us to get this accomplished. So I provided the outline with the scriptures written out for you to read and to study. And page 3 reiterates the benefits of the word fast and how to implement it, some of the guidelines that you need to keep in mind when you're doing this. So basically, that's the end of the teaching. And I hope you're not just saying, oh, okay, and, you know, put this away, file it away in your book and forget about it. ABC is all about lifestyle. ABC is about being hearers and doers of the word. You know, many years ago, there was a lady I saw that I thought was so mature. But I was hungry for the Lord, and I dug in, and she went to church every single time the doors opened. She was there faithfully, and so was I. And after a while, I began to realize that I was more mature than she was. And I was trying to figure out why. And the Lord taught me. He showed me. She's kind of like a Dead Sea, taking in, but never giving out. She was a hearer, but not a doer of the word. And she was stuck at that level. In fact, she may even have gone backwards, because that sometimes happens. So I learned my lesson from that a long time ago. We want to be doers of the word of God that we learn. It's all about lifestyle and habits and preparing ourselves to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Because we have to be alive and remain to be able to meet Him face to face in the clouds. So we have a job to do. And only each one of us can do it for ourselves. So, as much as I would like to assign everybody to make this a lifestyle, I'm going to give you an assignment to do the first step, the 1 hour. Make a decision. You're going to do that 1 hour. Set the time within the next few days. Set the time, set the date, follow the guidelines, and give me feedback. I think you're going to find, because Apostle Joshua and I know this is life-changing. Taking that first step, I think, will open the understanding to just how amazing that can be. So I'm going to just quote Nike. Nike gets quoted a lot. Just do it. That is a marvelous, marvelous phrase. Don't hesitate. Don't analyze why this, that, or the other. Just do it. With God as your partner, how can you lose? You won't. You'll be blessed. Up one side, down the other, as we follow God's guidance on this issue of fasting words, our golden fast. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every one to partner with you, Lord, to have that hunger and thirst to say, Lord, yes, I want to do this. I want to do things your way. I want to learn to speak less. I want to learn to speak just the right words. Lord, lead me through a golden fast. Partner with me. Help me do this. Help me have the right results that I want. to speak fewer words as you have guided us in your word. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. All things are possible to us, and we choose to be hearers and doers of the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Amen.
Well, amen to that. Yes. It's out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, that the mouth speaks. And so we're so grateful that the word of God is engrafted into our hearts and that we can speak out words of life and not death. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that sermon, Pastor Sarah. And just the importance of words. It seems that that has been an ongoing theme this last month, at least a month, that the topic of words the Lord has been putting on people's hearts. And so it's not done yet. It's not done yet. It's going to continue into August. How do I know that? Because I'm going to be teaching in August. So, yes. So let's take this anointing into communion. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that on the night that you were betrayed, you took the bread. You blessed and broke it and gave it to your disciples. And you said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you are the Word made flesh. And you said, this is my body broken for you. So we praise you, Lord, that as we eat of your body, that we are in communion with you, that our hearts are open to you, that we pray that there's nothing but the engrafted word in our hearts, love in our hearts, that Christ dwells in our hearts, that our hearts are undividedly loyal to you, Father God. Jesus, this is your body, and we're eating of your flesh, and that our flesh lines up to your word that says that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, your word is true. And as we eat, Lord, our bodies respond. Every cell, every organ, every system of our bodies lines up to that word of God that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Let's eat now of this precious body. And also on that night, Jesus took the cup. This is the cup of the everlasting covenant. This is my blood poured out for you. And it's for the forgiveness of our sins, because the blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat. And it cries out for mercy. It cries out with grace that we can be in fellowship with God, perfected. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that with this blood, we are pure before you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that forgiveness that we get to extend to the people around us, that our words bring life to people. Our words edify and encourage. And they don't tear down and they don't criticize. Thank you, Jesus, for a wonderful life. Life-giving. This is your blood, your love poured into us as we drink of it now in Jesus' name.